The Holy Prophet is the best of role model, because the Holy Prophet has true human perfection, and therefore this is something
azim,
that we aspire towards.
Yeah. He has akhlaq-e azim. He's got the best of the ethics, morals.
Exactly. So we aspire towards that. We're driven towards that. And if we follow the footstep and really are attracted towards that, then inshallah we too can become like the Holy Prophet. And this being a path for our life, or this being a goal for our life, is a very good goal, because that which the Prophet has is in reality a true human perfection.
Exactly. Well, we talked about the worldview, and another danger was the role models that these animations are bringing. We'll talk more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this israf to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic upbringing. I'm with Brother Miqdad, and we're talking about the dangers that the animation world, that the screens, that the video games are bringing with them. Yes, Brother Miqdad.
So, once we understand that there's a true perfection, that this perfection is embodied by a human being or an imaginary role model, this person becomes a role model, and therefore we're driven and aspire towards that. Now, what animations or movies or serials or video games do is that they bring forward for us a role model, for us or for our children, a role model. Yeah. And what happens is that they take this individual to be having a perfection that they are driven towards, that they want to become like. So, for example, to give you a couple of examples. One example is Emma in Frozen, right? Emma is a role model for many people. And how this is created as well, you find this is very clear. What happens is that the animation comes out, and with it comes a huge level of marketing, whether it's bags, whether it is posters, whether it is everything related to this theme of Frozen.
Yeah.
And so Emma becomes a role model. Now, what is that perfection that Emma has? What drives people towards Emma? Or towards what do you think a girl will see in Emma that is perfect, and that will then change her mindset to be like, I want to be like her?
All right.
In most cases, it can be her beauty.
Right? All right.
And her beauty is portrayed by a body image that's pretty much impossible for any real girl to achieve.
All right.
According to research, you find that either 1% or 2% of the population can actually achieve this body image that's portrayed on TV.
Okay.
Right? That's first. Secondly, it's not a human perfection at all, right?
Okay. She's,
the human perfection that is being given to her is an imaginary human perfection, right?
Yeah.
The physical beauty that we have is not a true perfection we need to be aspired towards or spend on. And you find that a lot of girls will go through severe diet, will go through severe mental depression or anxiety because of being affected by this idea that I need to be in a certain way in terms of my physical body, in terms of my physical image. So this is driven by having role models that kind of have that. Now, this is Emma is an example. You can go across the board and see so many different examples of this where a role model is portrayed in its physical beauty.
Yeah.
Right. And this obviously it leads to so much detrimental effects in terms of their mental health, in terms of their physical health, etc. And generally, it brings about a wrong worldview in terms of what is true human perfection. Another thing that Emma could, for example, could portray is going against the norm. Now, for those who watch Frozen, you know that she's hiding something, that she has something in her that she wants to kind of control. But the solution is not to hide it. The solution is not to be shy about it. The solution is to openly say it. Explore it. Openly say it. Don't be shy of it.
Doesn't matter if it breaks your norms.
Exactly.
All right.
And for those who watch it, you know what that is. Inshallah, I don't want to go through it right now.
All right. So we talked about that these animations or these video games or films can bring something that can, you said, the role models. Another danger was role models. And those role models could bring so many things with them, like body image and imaginary human perfection, and like going against norms. We'll talk more on that after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio. يا مقضي الخيرات يا
مقضي الخيرات The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, No father has granted a gift to his child better than good manners. يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Brother Mikhtar, and we're talking about the dangers of screen animation, video games, and things like that. Yes, brother.
So another example, again, Emma was an imaginary example. Another imaginary example is Khan. So Marvel came out with this new superhero called Khan, a Pakistani a Muslim girl who has superpowers.
Okay.
They, according to themselves, they made this Marvel superhero to attract and to bring on board
Muslim girls.
Muslims and Asian population, basically.
Okay.
So Khan, again, she doesn't wear hijab. She drinks. And obviously her level of religiosity when it comes to true religion, she just is a Muslim by name. And she's Asian as well. She's Pakistani. She speaks Urdu. She carries books, that Islamic books in her hand. She has Islamic books, but obviously she doesn't practice any of the religion that we need to practice. This Khan, as a superhero, is now a role model for girls today.
All right.
So girls today see her as what we need to aspire to become, right? That girl who's outgoing, who's a superhero, who's an amazing person. I want to be like her. What does it mean to be like her? It means to have the characteristics that she has, none of which are Islamic, none of which are to do with our religion. She has relationships outside of marriage. She has no hijab, no concept of hijab, etc. She's supporting the American values that are out there.
Okay.
Basically brainwashing children to take that as a goal in life, and that and those values and principles that come with it. So you can see how this is dangerous when it comes to having this as a role model.
All right.
We can carry on with the list. So these were just two kind of examples from animation, but even in the real world, so actors have come across and become real role models. So Emma Watson, for example.
All right.
Or for example, this actress, for example, who goes to Africa and adopts different children, orphans from Africa. She now has more than 3 or 4, I can't remember, I lost count. And so people count that as an amazing act of charity where she goes to Africa, adopts children who have been suffering from war, etc. She now becomes a role model, basically.
Celebrity whitewashing, we must say.
All right. And how this leads us then to move away from our religion, move away from reality, is something that we need to really think about.
All right. So we actually got to think about like what is being portrayed. We have to analyze it very, very deeply to get an idea about the worldviews that are being portrayed to us. Thank you so much, Brother Mikhtar, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah.
In the limelight.
Puerto Rico is suffering from the consequences of another major hurricane. Hurricane Fiona brings the experiences of the past with itself. Weak infrastructure, discrimination, and inequality in Puerto Rico. Stay tuned for the second part, please. According to Politico, Puerto Ricans living on the island frequently deal with the possibility of losing power, regardless of whether or not a storm is passing through. In April, an island-wide blackout caused by a possible equipment failure knocked out power to parts of the island for 5 days. The unplanned outages posed threats to equipment essential for businesses and hospitals, including the refrigerators people need to store their daily medications, such as insulin used by diabetes. And drinking water has been disrupted to two-thirds of people living on the island, at least partly due to the lack of electricity and flooding that has overrun the systems. Leah Fuel Mata, senior counsel at Latino Justice, an organization that advocates for decolonization of the island, said, "Life on the island is becoming unsustainable, but at the same time, people are there fighting for things to get better." On the inequality and discrimination in Puerto Rico, the Washington Post wrote, "For much of the post-war era, America's territories thrived. Remnants of the age of imperialism, the five far-flung Caribbean and Pacific outposts added residents faster than most states. But the 2020 census revealed a troubling turn. Every territory is now shrinking, losing population faster than any state. The largest U.S. territory, Puerto Rico, has 3.3 million people and Spanish and West Indian traditions tracing back to Columbus. The nearby U.S. Virgin Islands were previously settled by Denmark. Over the Pacific between Japan and Australia, Guam and Northern Mariana Islands share Chamorro heritage and tourist economies oriented toward East Asia. An American Samoa in the heart of Polynesia still employs a communal system of land ownership and lies closer to New Zealand than Hawaii. One big thing unites them, U.S. rule. Their population collapse also seems uniquely American. From 2010 to 2020, the population plummeted by 18% in the U.S. Virgin Islands, while the British Virgin Islands gained 9%. Over the same period, American Samoa lost 11%, while Independent Samoa gained 7%. What's going on? Why are people fleeing the distant vestiges of America's global empire? Good data remains elusive. The government rarely gives the territories equal coverage in its headline economic and demographic releases. Do Legislation introduced in July by Representative Raul May Grijalva and territories' non-voting delegates would push agencies to fill those data gaps, but it has yet to truly begin the arduous journey through Congress. So, we picked up the phone talking with locals, officials, and experts over the past few months. We eventually came to a simple, perhaps overly simple conclusion, the Washington Post reporter said, adding, "The island territories, even the most developed ones, have much in common with America's rural areas. The problems are rural problems, supercharged by migration and tax policy, and of course, by distance from the nation's population centers. The population loss in the territories came as rural America snapped a four-decade population growth streak and started shrinking. The decline stemmed from familiar rural culprits. Declining manufacturing, lack of healthcare, falling birth rights, burn drain, and climate change. Even Puerto Rico's storied capital, San Juan, might have more in common with a faded Rust Belt hub like Detroit than with a coastal superstar city. Like many rural areas, the islands are trapped in a vicious cycle. As people lose their jobs or move away, tax revenue falls. Without that revenue, the territories can't provide the same services. The lack of services and amenities drives more residents away. Those residents stop paying taxes and the cycle accelerates. But what set off the cycle? What turned decades of growth into decline? Each island is different. But when reporters asked for the broadest factors, economists pointed to manufacturing. The Washington Post added, "The economic struggles have accelerated brain drain on the islands as the young and ambitious leave to attend a school or join the U.S. military. As with rural kids seeking their fortune in cities, the islanders often put down roots on the mainland, where their college degrees and other experience are far more remunerative. The islands just don't have many high-paying opportunities for the educated. It's really troubling for our middle class and our students who graduate here," said Rosen Jones, a University of Guam economist who has spent past 25 years on the island, adding, "They're beginning to say this is a very challenging place economically to build and raise a family to commit to."
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Principles of Friendship. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Welcome everyone. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hossein Hinzano. And in today's lesson, we're talking about the principles of friendship. When you're talking about friendship, we're talking about a relationship that is built to continue in a lifetime. And it's something that's necessary for any human being in this life. Whenever a human being comes up in his life, he needs a friend. He needs someone he can connect with. Now, this particular person, whoever he connects with, they need to generate good principles and good ideas in order for them to make their relationship become a good relationship in life. Now, one of those principles that are so good in a relationship between two people, a relationship between two friends, is the exchanging of visits between them, the exchanging of visits between friends. Whenever friends exchange visits to each other, this is something that is building their friendship in a very good manner. Now, among the well-known social behavior, which is fixed in the nature of human beings, is visiting families, friends, and neighbors in their houses or maybe their workplaces. You can visit your friend at a workplace, and they can visit you also at your workplace or at your house. Just by visiting each other shows the importance that you have for them, shows that you're taking them as good people, good persons in life, and you're not just taking them for granted. They're not just someone who's just with you. The moment he's coming to you, you feel the importance that the person is giving you. So definitely this is building up the relationship between you two. And it's an aspect that we all need to look at and take care of. You know, whenever you have someone as your friend, you can't call them your friend and you've not seen them for like 3 weeks, 2 months, 3 years, and you're not even giving them a call or a text or anything. Give them a text. Visit them. If they're far, try as much as possible. You can send fax. You can send a mail. You can say, we have emails. You have this. All this is counted as you sharing a visit to them. You're visiting them and showing that you love them and you're giving them importance in life.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Hossein Hinzano. Now, we're talking about the principles of friendship here. We're talking about the act of exchanging visits between two friends. We've said that it's a very important trait. It's a very important action for people in order for people to embrace it. People need to do it more. Visitation shows you concern. Visitation shows love. It shows respect towards the one you're visiting and his importance in your sight. So visiting a friend, especially at the time of happiness or even at the time of sorrow or even at the time of difficulties or at the time of sickness or after a journey, let's say, shows your physical feeling towards him and that you are together with him in all situations. Whenever a friend visits his friend, it is as if he rejoins their relationship as well as also he or she is strengthening or it helps strengthen the relationship between these particular bodies, these particular people. So it is possible that a friendship between two people may become sour or bad, but visiting each other will no doubt return it to its former position because it is a sign of regret on what happened and a forgetting of it all. You could just say sorry to your friend by just giving them a visit, pay them a visit after a journey, or whenever they're sick, go to them, say hi to them, say sorry to them, buy them things. And just by that, you could have just said sorry in a problem that maybe you caused it maybe in years and you've not been talking, but you pay them a visit and boom, it's done. Your friendship is back to normal. So visiting between each other, visitation between two friends is a very important aspect during friendship, You can't call it a friendship if you're not visiting each other. You're not paying attention to each other. Thank you so much for listening to this program, inshallah. Until next episode, we'll be together again. Fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
A new bird species has been discovered on the southernmost islands of the Americas. Biologists are baffled.
Discovering new bird species is very, very difficult and rare because the world has been more focused on observing birds. Therefore, this means the discovery site is unique in the sub-Antarctic zone, on which Chile has important sovereignty. This raises the importance of caring for the environment and unique ecosystems, as these sites will allow us to carry out research on climate change, new species and behaviors.
The tiny bird weighs only 16 grams and has a large beak with black and yellow streaks along its body. Researchers say the animal is a subcategory of a species typically found in the Patagonia forest and inhabits tree trunks, but the newly discovered cousin has surprised scientists as it learned to burrow and live in a harsh tundra climate with bitter temperatures. The Diego Ramirez archipelago, where the bird was found, is an isolated bit of land. It also lacks mammalian predators and woody plants. Biologists and researchers from Chilean universities and various academic centers studied the birds for 6 years before announcing the new species. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge? How much power do you want to be able to draw from it? So again, we're targeting, call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up dear crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape. But the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together in strong unmetal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC. They're back, as India has revealed or released several of them into the grasslands of Kuna National Park after a 70-year absence in the country. The 8 radio-coloured African cheetahs made the long journey from Namibia. The big cats were released during a ceremony by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that coincided with his birthday. After their acclimation in the national park, they will be released into a 5-hectare spread of land in central India covered by grassland and forest. The felines will share the landscape with other animals and roam with leopards, sloths and striped hyenas. Their reintroduction is the culmination of a 13-year effort to restore the species, which vanished from the country decades ago. Another 12 cheetahs are expected to join the fledgling Indian population next month from South Africa. With more funding, the country hopes to gradually increase the population of cheetahs to around 40. World Cleanup Day unites millions of volunteers, governments and organizations to tackle the global waste problem and build a sustainable world. People in several countries joined the efforts again for a waste-free world. Volunteers were seen in mangrove forests in the suburb of Bangkok. They collected more than 1.5 tons of rubbish in just a few hours. Trash picking events were also held in the Philippines and Vietnam. In Hanoi, hundreds, mostly students, armed with metal tongs and sacks, walked along major roads. They said their aim is to raise awareness about protecting the environment. In Manila, people cleaned up the city's beaches that are major tourist attractions. The annual cleanup day has been running for over a decade, from divers collecting marine debris to children picking up trash on beaches have just one goal: make our planet a cleaner place.
Chinese astronauts are celebrating their first ever mid-autumn festival in outer space while sharing their otherworldly experience with people on Earth. The crew had a close-up view of the moon from China's Tiangong space station and their third month in space. On the occasion, the ground crew organized a series of celebrations, including a family reunion for the astronauts. The ground crew also prepared elaborate food packages that had been prepared before the launch of the spacecraft. Typically, the traditional festival is kicked off by the first viewing of the full moon on the 15th day of the 8th month of the lunar calendar. Despite being able to see the moon rise and set 16 times a day, the astronauts say the moon is special on this occasion. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with many expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice, and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals. Most of the time, you have to visit an exhibition to see art. But what if art comes to see you instead? Well, a group of artists in Mali have created a floating art venue that will travel up and down the River Niger. It's called the Pirogue du Zem, which is a floating vessel. It's designed to host plays, exhibitions, dance shows, and so much more. The idea is to make art a movable feast that is no longer restricted to fixed venues in cities and accessible to all people. The project was created by a local artist and architect who had a vision to bring art to the masses. The vessel is 20 meters long and 6 meters wide, built with storage and enough space for exhibition. Government officials say the floating venue will showcase Mali's talents and creativity while attracting tourists.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network, and also in the presence of some of the students of Sevier International School. So we have here again Brother Hussein Ruhullah and Fawad Haider, and also Sayyid Ali Nasir and Habibullah Fasihizadeh here with you. So, salam, Fawad Haider, how are you?
Fine, sir, how are you?
Fine, okay, alhamdulillah. And Hussein Ruhullah?
Fine, sir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. And Sayyid Ali Nasir, are you okay?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Okay. So, alhamdulillah, thanks to Allah Almighty that everyone is fine. We hope that you are fine as well, inshallah, and doing well.
قلب في القرآن سعادتنا مدى الأزمان وفيه الخير للإنسان ويطوي عثرة المجروح
So today, as we had promised you, we will go through the practical reading and tajweed rules of Quran Kareem. So in this session, inshallah, whatever we had learned in level 3 of our Quranic sessions in Tajweed, yes? So we will go, inshallah, and read the verses of the Holy Quran and practice all those rules that we have learned so far. All right, Hussein Rahullah? Yeah?
Yes.
Was level 3, the Tajweed rules, beneficial for you?
Yes.
Did you learn something?
Yes.
Okay, inshallah, we'll see today, okay? Fawad Haider, did you learn something?
Yes.
Okay, let's see. Let's see what you have learned, okay? Can you practice, can you apply all those rules in the on the verses of the Holy Quran or no, okay? Or they were just something you learned, and our brothers and sisters also, something they just learned, okay? Like other things. But let's see. In practical, when it comes to practice, when it comes to apply the rules, okay, it is kind of challenging. But if you have learned the rules correctly and without any problem, and the rules are now like very clear, very much clear to you, so there will be no problem, okay, for you to practice to apply all those rules, okay? So all the tajweed rules, no problem. Ali Nasir, did you learn something during the classes?
Yes.
Of course you have. So, and it's not going to be difficult for you to apply the rules, right?
No.
Okay, inshallah. So,
inshallah.
We will go through the Surah Al-Baqarah, the longest surah of the Quran Kareem. So some of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, inshallah, we'll practice. We will recite and read, then apply the rules. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. Surah Al-Baqarah starts from second page of the Quran Kareem. Starts with Alif, Lam, Mim. Okay. Ready? Let's recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wajjal farajhu.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Alif Lam Mim.
Alif Lam Mim.
Thalika al-kitabu la rayba fih.
Thalika al-kitabu la rayba fih.
Hudan lil-muttaqin.
هدى للمتقين
الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون
الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
ما شاء الله ما شاء الله وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
وبالآخرة هم يوقنون
أولئك على هدى من ربهم
أولئك على هدى من ربهم
وأولئك هم المفلحون
وأولئك هم المفلحون
أحسن. Okay, inshallah, we'll go through the practical section of these five ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah. Then after we finished, inshallah, we'll continue through the next ayahs, all right?
Yes.
Okay. قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه
فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So, the first ayah starts with
Alif Lam Mim.
Oh no, the first ayah starts with
Bismillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That is part of the ayah, okay? So always, all the surahs that start with Bismillah, except one surah, so that Bismillah is part of the surah, okay?
Yes.
And I actually studied, okay, one of the interpretations of the Quran Karim. It was saying, I think it was a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that says that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is the crown of all surahs. You see, the crown. The crown is like, it shows the position, it shows the rank, or it shows the importance or the value of something, yes? When a prince, okay, puts on a crown, okay? So it shows that he is an important person, okay? He's not like normal people. So he is something. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is like the crown of the other ayahs, the other surahs. So, don't forget Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As we believe, Shia Muslims, okay, it is part of the ayah, okay?
Yes.
So, in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, so how many tajweed rules do we have to apply here? The first one. Bismillah. And the word?
Allah.
Allah. So, what rule? The rule of?
Pronouncing heavily or lightly.
Pronouncing heavily or lightly the letter?
Allah.
Lam. The letter lam of the word Allah. Okay. So here, what rule is applied? Which one? Heavy lam or light lam?
Light
one. Why?
Because there's a kasra.
Because we have a kasra before the word Allah. So whenever, the rule was this. Ali Nasir, that whenever we have a kasra before the word Allah,
we will pronounce lightly.
Whenever we have kasra, it is lightly pronounced, yes?
Yes.
Illa, like this.
Yes.
But whenever we have illa, whenever we have dhamma or fatha before the word Allah or Allahumma, we pronounce it as?
Heavily.
Allah. Heavily. Allah. The lam will be la. La. Okay? La. La. These two different pronunciations. So, this one, Bismillah, has a kasra before, yeah?
Yes.
Read it before Al-Haider. Read it once.
Bismillah.
Nice one. Bismillah. Do not say Bismillah. No, okay. And Hussein Rahullah, how do you read this?
Bismillah.
Bismillah. Ali Nasir?
Bismillah.
Bismillah. Great. Bismillah. Then, Hir Rahman. Okay. So, we have a Hamzatul Wasl there. In the word Allah as well, we skip it. Okay, the rules of Hamzatul Wasl as well, we studied. How many cases do you think we had for Hamzatul Wasl? Two cases, okay? First one, we skip. There is a case, okay, that we skip Hamzatul Wasl. We do not read Hamzatul Wasl. Or sometimes we read Hamzatul Wasl. So when do we read Hamzatul Wasl and when should we skip Hamzatul Wasl? There were two rules.
When it comes starting.
When it comes at the beginning of the word and you start from that word, you start reading from that word. For example, if I start reading from Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, if I start from Ar-Rahman, okay, I have to pronounce that Hamzatul Wasl. Do you see that Hamzatul Wasl?
Yes.
An Alif, the front of Sad or the first part of Sad is on the top. That is called Hamzatul Wasl. Hamzatul Wasl is opposite to Hamzatul Qat'a. Hamzatul Qat'a, it is an Aleph, or sometimes a Waw, or sometimes a Hamza alone, or sometimes a Ya, but on the top of these three letters, we have a Hamza. That is Hamzatul Qat'a. It must be pronounced. Okay, it must be pronounced. Because it takes a harakat, either on the top, like a Fatha or a Dhamma, or beneath, okay, like a Kasra. Also, it takes like Tanwin Fatha, Tanwin Kasra, Tanwin Dhamma. Or it takes Sukun as well. But Hamzatul Wasl has never a harakat except when you pronounce it.
Does it make any difference like Hamzatul Qata is under a word or over a word?
No. Hamzatul Qata, okay, it is. it has like many positions like this, okay? Either it comes on the top of Aleph or beneath Aleph. Or either it comes on the top of Ya or beneath Ya. Or on the top of Waw or sometimes alone, these many positions.
Does it make different, any difference?
No, no, no. It depends on the word. Sometimes you have Waw, okay? On the top of Waw you have that Hamza. It means that is Hamza. Waw is just like a chair, okay? It's nothing. You don't have to read that Waw, okay? You have to read that Hamza. For example, Mu'min. Mu'min, okay? There is no actual reason for this, okay? That's the way that Arabs, okay, write and the Arabs speak. All right? Fawad? Now, Hamzatul Wasl and Hamzatul Qatf, we talked about them in level 2 as well, okay? That if you skip Hamzatul Wasl, it doesn't have any harakat. So it's neither sakin, okay? You skip it. You do not read it. As if it's not there, okay? As if it's not there. Like, for example, you see, Bismillah, Bismillah. But if you read Hamzatul Wasl, you say this way. You read, Bismillah. It's wrong. So if you join together, Hamzatul Wasl will be skipped. Bismillah. Okay? Yes. And all the words, I will repeat this, all the words in the Quran Karim, in Arabic words, that start with Alif and Lam, that Hamzatul Wasl plus Lam Ta'rif. Whenever you want to start at that from that word, okay, you put a Fatha on the top of Hamzatul Wasl and read it. Not a Kasra, not a Dhammah. What? A Fatha. Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, As-Sama, Al-Jibal, Al-Ard, whatever. Alif, Lam. It's the rule for the words having Alif and Lam Ta'rif. Okay? It is the rule. For the rest of the words, we have different rules, okay? So, for the verbs, we have one special rule. For the nouns, we have another special rule, okay? We have different rules that we covered them. But inshallah, as we go on, I will tell you. We'll review them. Inshallah, in the next, after taking a break, okay, stay with us, brothers and sisters. We'll come back and help you again with the next sections of this surah. Let's recite a salawat, inshallah, and we will be back.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.